to see you all this morning. Good to be here. I was asked to preach on a Christian's responsibility in voting. It was acknowledged from the start that we ought not be hush-hush about right and wrong. One man, Edmund Burke, as we mentioned, he says, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. Good men do nothing. So we ought not be hush-hush about right and wrong. We see that from man's principles. We recognize that we can't keep our mouths closed concerning defending the Word of God, because the Bible tells us in Jude in verse 3, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We recognize also, as I mentioned, that I would seek to refrain from giving my opinion. I would also seek to refrain from naming particular candidates. But we recognized, as we started, that we recognize that politicians, we usually don't have a very high opinion of politicians, though we know all are not bad. Kind of like we think about lawyers, and all lawyers aren't bad, nor used car salesmen, are they all bad. But when we think about where we are, as far as our choice coming up and the topic, this is where we are. This is where we are. On November the 8th, what policies, what agendas, what opinions, what laws will you promote? That's where we are. So how will you vote? We've got four choices. I saw this morning, as I was going back over my notes, I wondered about that four choices and looked up and saw there's actually 28 different parties. Four, I suppose, that we might say that we really have to consider, and two that are probably viable. We recognize it's either going to be a Democrat or it's going to be a Republican in office. We might choose to vote. By the way, these run Democrat, Republican, the Green Party, and Libertarian Party. But we recognize if we were to choose to vote for the Green Party or Libertarian Party, they're probably not going to win. We know that. It's going to be a Democrat or Republican. And so those are the choices that we looked at. And so we really have the four parties to consider, and only two of them have any chance at winning. We talked about the platforms as we go through. We also, prior to this, by the way, we talked about how you could even justify. How can you even justify talking about politics from the pulpit? And the way we justify that is we recognize that in everything we do, a whole conversation, that is our manner of life, has to be in accordance with the Word of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 31. And so we started talking about platforms, and it was acknowledged also, someone says, you know what, I'm not dedicated to a platform. That may be so, and probably you shouldn't be. But the reality is that when you choose a candidate, they represent a platform. And when you choose that candidate, that platform that they represent is going to be promoted because of the political machine, whether we like it or not. And so we need to understand about the policies. And we gave illustration down here at the bottom, and that is, suppose you become discontent with the congregation. You decide, you know what, I'm just not happy. I'm going to have to go somewhere else for whatever reason. This is wrong or that is wrong. Where are you going to go? We ask the question, will you go down the street? Is it Wesley Street down here or whatever it is? I don't know. The United Methodist Church down there. Why not go down there? I don't know the preacher, but suppose you say in your mind, well, he's a good man. He's a good man. They got many members. They're good business owners. They're good mothers and fathers, good community members. Why don't we go down there? You know why you wouldn't go down there? Because you're a Christian. You know down there, what do they teach? What is their platform? Their platform is faith-only doctrine. Their platform is a one-man pastor system, which is an organization that is foreign to the Word of God. Their worship is foreign to the Word of God. And so you would say, because of what they teach, because of what they practice, I can't go down there. Who are you going to vote for? So, we talked about things that were opinions. For instance, amongst the Democrats, they talk about climate change, and it poses a real and urgent threat to our economy. Page 2, we talked about that, but that's a matter of opinion. I don't have a biblical argument for you on climate change. The Republicans, they talk about how we raise revenue. It has the greatest impact on our economy's performance. That's an economic argument, and other things that are opinions. But we do have some things that we can argue on and that are prominent in the platforms. I have here two main ideas. I guess you should have three. The last would be God, but the first two really are issues. The third one is the greatest of the issues, but they stem from the fact that, what do we say about God? We recognize that if we're Christians, we're supposed to live like Christians. We ought to vote like Christians. We ought to vote like Christians. So we talked about what the Green Party stands for. We see that they support the LGBT community. That's lesbian, gays, bisexual, transgender. We saw that the Libertarian Party, they indeed support these individuals. Likewise, the Democratic Party supports these individuals to the extent then that we can fairly say, well, back up. Well, we just start where we were. Fairly say this. You want to know? We've got the platforms. Here they are. Several pages. Go through them. I have. Honestly, I've not read them before. I just knew what people told me, knew what my parents said, Tori's parents said, what brethren, like you said, and so I knew that. But it's the first time I've read through those. You should read through them. It's an eye-opener. So whereas then you have the Green Party, Libertarian, Democrat Party, they have a banner. It's clear if you read the platform. It's not hidden. It's not in fine print down at the bottom. It's repeated for us. And whereas they stand and honor the LGBT community, we find that the Republicans honor the family, and we saw that. In fact, we see that the LGBT community is not acknowledged. Discrimination is acknowledged, but when they argue discrimination, they speak on race, sex, religion, creed, disability, national origin. And as much as they don't speak on two women or two men living and making a family or bisexual people making a family, they speak about the family and they say traditional marriage and family based on marriage between one man and one woman is the foundation of a free society for millennia been entrusted with rearing children and instilling cultural values. And they say more about that. That's not just in fine print. Page 31, a number of times mentioned there. The previous was, I believe, page 11. They say more. Our laws and our government's regulations should recognize marriage as the union of one man, one woman, and actively promote married family life as the basis of a stable and prosperous society. What's the basis? We oppose government discrimination against businesses or entities which decline to sell items or services to individuals for activities that go against their religious views about such activities. That's like the bakery people. We want to do your wedding. We don't believe in your lifestyle. It's wrong. Government punished them for that. This platform says we oppose such action by the government. We ought to be free to regulate our conduct by our religious views. So again, back to the banner. What's the banner say? So when we go to the polls, the only point of this sermon is not to sway you one way or another. I guess you say, in essence, that's what he's doing. The point is so we would have God in mind when we go vote. That's the point. That's the point. So here's where we left off. What does God say about LGBT and the FAMILY? What does God say? We remember in Romans 15 and verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So what about some things written aforetime? How about to the children of Israel concerning the people in the land into which they were going to go? In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Thou shalt not. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth her inhabitants, vomiteth out her inhabitants. That which makes you sick causes you to vomit. What do? You throw it up. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. That the land spew not you out also, when you defile it, as it spew out the nations that were before you. For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that you commit not any of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that you defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Down to verse 30. Someone says, well, that's Old Testament teaching. That's not our teaching. You're right. So let's go to New Testament teaching. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor adulterer, nor effeminate. That would include the LGBT community, wouldn't it? There are others that are included there. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Go to Galatians 5, verses 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. That lists it, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Can we vote for those that promote those things then? Why can't I have a store then that sells alcohol? And if that's okay, why couldn't I run a prostitution house? If I can support the gay and lesbian people. But what does God say? 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and every woman her own husband. That's what God says. You know what the lesbian, the gay, and the bisexual, and the transgender, you know what that is? That's lasciviousness, isn't it? And that word, it just makes your skin crawl. And it amounts to their actions being fornication. That's what it is. Someone says, but you know, the other things that one party or another do, I believe in those other things. Well, maybe you do. Just like you might see the man that preaches down at the Methodist Church, he's a good man. You believe his platform, though? Going to stand on that platform in the judgment? If you think you can, and you think you can maintain before God in the judgment, then go on down there. But you know better, because it's not Bible teaching, and so you won't. The Hebrew writer says, Hebrews 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God shall judge. And if the LGBT community is not a bunch of whoremongers, what are they? What are they? Some say that doesn't matter to them. Those in the Green Party are clear on that. Doesn't matter to them. They need the same rights. We cannot discriminate. Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. That's what they're doing. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Love whom they will, they said in the platforms, the LGBT people and libertarian people, to choose their own relationships. You do what you want to do, just as long as it doesn't harm me, and I'll do what I want to do, just as long as it doesn't harm you. But no matter what they do, the fact of the matter is their relations, I guess, would fall under not convenient. It's not natural, changing the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. We talked about those things not too many months ago, I guess. Maybe it was last year, I guess, on homosexuality when we studied those things. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, have pleasure in them that do them. That last part, Romans 1 and verse 32. Better beware. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, what is that that have pleasure in? Some say, well, I may vote that way, but I don't have any pleasure in the way these people live. I don't believe that stuff. And there are brethren out there that are that way. Even over where I live. I don't believe those things. And I know they don't believe those things like LGBT and others that we'll talk about. They don't believe that. They still vote that way. But what does have pleasure in them that do them? The center margin note, there is consent with them. Your version might read that way. You consent. If it's prominent in the platform and you vote for that person that represents that platform, what policies, what agendas are you voting for? And therefore standing with. So, question. Which way will you vote? Which way will I vote? What are the party platforms? Here's another. How about abortion? So we'll go back. What does the Green Party say? How do I know? I printed out the platform. Here's part of it. There's much. This isn't all of it. There's much more. This is just on social justice from the Green Party platform. This is all of the Republican Party, all of the Democratic Party platform, and all, by the way, pretty brief, of the Libertarian Party platform. What does the Green Party say? Here it is. And I know you can read, but I have to read, so you know I'm not just saying it. Women's rights must be protected and expanded to guarantee each woman's right as a full participant in society, free from sexual harassment, job discrimination, or interference in the intensely personal choice about whether to have a child. What do they mean? Women's rights to control their bodies is non-negotiable. It is essential that the option of a safe legal abortion remains available. The morning after pill, if you've ever heard of that, it's referred to, though I don't mention this, this morning after pill is referred to in the Republican party platform as RU486. In other words, it's an abortion pill. You can do the same thing for cattle, by the way, with a product called Lutalice, and it will cause them to cycle and abort anything they have. Let's do that for women. The morning after pill must be affordable and easily accessible without prescription. Whether with a government-sponsored public relations campaign, together with a government-sponsored public relations campaign to educate women about this form of contraception. We endorse women's rights to use contraception and, when they choose, to have an abortion. This right cannot be limited to a woman's age or marital status. Contraception and abortion must be included in all health insurance policies in the U.S., and any state must be able to legally offer these services free of charge to women at the poverty level. If you agree with that, then maybe you can vote that way. Libertarian Party. They say, recognizing that abortion is a sensitive issue, and that people can hold good faith views on all sides, we believe that government should keep out of the matter, leaving the question to each person for their conscientious consideration. So they say, let's just leave it to the person. You decide. It's not government to dictate those things. Person needs to be able to decide. Democratic Party platform. They say, we will appoint judges who defend the constitutional principles of liberty and equality for all. That sounds good, doesn't it? I believe that. We will appoint judges who defend constitutional principles of liberty and equality for all, and will protect a woman's right to safe and legal abortion, page 25. We will fight Republican efforts to roll back the clock on women's health and reproductive rights and stand up for Planned Parenthood. Same language, page 25. Page 34, page 37, there's a whole section on this. Page 46, or page 41, it's mentioned again, page 46, a whole section on this, out of 51 pages. It's not something that's mentioned at the end or in a closing or in the fine print or, oh, by the way. It is before you through the document. So what do they say in those whole sections? Here's one. We will support sexual and reproductive health and rights around the globe. This is the last one, by the way, 46. Whole section in 37 I don't have up here for you, but you can read it in the original if you like. We will support sexual and reproductive health and rights around the globe. In addition to expanding the availability of affordable family planning information and contraceptive supplies, we believe that safe abortion must be part of comprehensive maternal and women's health care and included as part of America's global health programming. Therefore, we support the repeal of harmful restrictions that obstruct women's health to health, or excuse me, access to health care information and services, including the global gag rule and the Helms Amendment that bars American assistance to provide safe legal abortion throughout the developing world. So as with then LGBT rights and privileges and position, as with that, not only is there a whole section on this on page 37, if you didn't get it there, on page 46 in the closing pages, remember out of 51, I believe it is, they tell you again. And is it's not just at home. It's not something that I think, you know what, I kind of have this idea, but I'm going to keep it to myself. You know, sometimes there's differences of thought among brethren. I kind of have this idea. What is it about? Maybe it's about elders. Maybe it's any of the qualifications for elders. Maybe it's something else. And, you know, I kind of have this idea, but I'm not sure, and so I'm not going to promote that amongst the brethren. I'm going to keep that to myself. Because I have to believe on this topic, in this direction, I can be safe. This is the way that's right and can't be wrong. But I kind of have these ideas on these other things. Or maybe abiding in the calling, wherein you're called. I'm not saying I do. I'm talking about some brethren that are that way. Have those ideas. But this platform is not so. This platform, as with the LGBT, is that we're going to promote this at home and we're going to promote that abroad. What does that tell you about their belief in it? The same as our belief in preaching the gospel at home and abroad. What about abortion in the Republican Party platform? Page 14. No. I don't have the page number. I'll look it up in a moment. The Constitution's guarantee that no one can be deprived of life, liberty, or property deliberately echoes the Declaration of Independence's proclamation that all are endowed by their Creator with inalienable right to life. We support a human life amendment to the Constitution and legislation to make clear that the 14th Amendment's protection applies to children before birth. We oppose the use of public funds to perform or promote abortion or to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood, so long as they provide or refer for elective abortions or sell fetal body parts rather than provide health care. So they're saying, you know what, we would support Planned Parenthood if they provided health care, but no, we can't go as far as abortion, and no, we can't stomach the idea of selling fetal parts. We oppose the non-consensual withholding or withdrawal of care or treatment, including food and water, from individuals with disabilities, newborns, the elderly, or the infirm, just as we oppose euthanasia and assisted suicide. You think about abortion? You're euthanizing that little one, aren't you? What about assisted suicide, euthanasia? You're euthanizing the other end of the globe, and that is when we become so old that we're helpless. Well, let's just put them to sleep. Because they're not wanted anymore, see? And the little one that's not wanted, we'll just put it to sleep. We oppose, they say. So you've seen the platforms. What's the banner? Here's the banner. The Green and the Democrat, they say, we support abortion. But we knew that already. Maybe not to what extent. Republicans say we oppose abortion. The libertarian says let the people choose, let the people decide. Don't get into that, let them decide. Let that be their choice. So our thought would be, irregardless of what the Republicans, Democrats, Green, or Libertarians say, what does God say about the ending of innocent life? Well, as we started before on the previous topic, why don't we start here in the old on this topic? In Exodus 20 and verse 13, thou shalt not kill. That was pretty clear to those that lived under that law. And so we recognize, as I have here, and again, I know you can read the slides. The most horrible sin one can commit against another is what? Take away their life. We might steal from someone. We might lie about our neighbor. All those things can be restored. Each of them can be. But if we take their life, it cannot be restored. The most precious, most valuable thing we've got is our soul. Second to that would be our physical life. Concerning the soul, in Matthew 16 and verse 26, what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We're told in Matthew 10, 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So the most precious being our soul. Second to that, I suppose, our physical life. To God, what is physical life? We were created in God's image. In Genesis 9 and verse 6, and here I read, whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. That's why. We're made in God's likeness. How does this apply in the new covenant? Well, Jesus sought to stop these thoughts, that is, the thought of murder, taking another's life, when it happens, and that would be in the heart. Matthew 5 and verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Matthew 5 and verse 19. James says, rather, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Murder is first committed in the heart. Jesus seeks to nip that in the bud, teaches us not to think that way so we don't follow through on those thoughts. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. There's more to think about here. When we think about thou shalt not kill, by the way, other New Testament teaching that we've already seen. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicator, nor idolater, nor offender, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. We go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 and 20. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness. Verse 21. Of which I tell you before, as I've also told in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So the question then would be, bottom of this slide, there's a side thought over here but we'll just mention. By the way, Exodus 20, 13, you know, does not abolish capital punishment. That's not our point. Let's jump down to the second point here. What about abortion? What is abortion? It's the operation to end a pregnancy. According to the Roe v. Wade court case of 1973, it legalized abortion any time before the 24th week. They say, why? Because they believe that's the point when the fetus would be viable. I guess maybe out of the womb. There's a picture of a fetus, 12th week. Can you see it? 12th week. What can you see? I can see a nose. I can tell where the mouth is. I can see even maybe nostrils starting to form, fingers and toes. Now, granted, because that's zoomed in so far, you think that looks pretty big, and that's not really very big. It would fit in the palm of your hand, by the way. But you see it's forming, don't you? That's the 12th week. You want to see that put to sleep? That's what abortion does. That's what Roe v. Wade decided. What's it going to look like at the 24th week? I don't have a picture there for you. You could look that up pretty easy. Google images. Or an anatomy physiology text, which some of you have. So, question. Down here at the bottom.
That fetus you just saw is alive.
You believe it's alive? Believe it's living? If it is, then what word describes ending that life? If you decide that's alive, what word describes ending that life? And you'll have to make the decision. I guess this is one of those things for which we don't have enough revelation, but we do know this, that God is the Father of spirits, isn't He? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 9, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? I wondered about that. I don't know exactly when that would be and when that comes in. Maybe it's at conception. We might argue that. Here's a thought. In Luke 1 and verse 41, you remember Mary was visited by the angel and she was told of the things that would come to pass concerning her as well as Elizabeth. And then she goes after those things and she enters into the house of Zacharias and Elizabeth and she salutes Elizabeth. And the Bible tells us that the babe, which was, I guess this is the sixth month with her, that when she heard that salutation, or when that salutation was made, it doesn't say that the babe heard, it just says when that salutation was made, that the babe did what? It leaped in her stomach. Now, what was that? Either way you look at it, it was divine. I get that. Don't believe that that little one, whether the age of that picture or 6 months, could hear that salutation and understand that and then leap for joy. Don't believe that. It was divine, whatever it was. But you have to answer the question now, did God, by the Holy Spirit, by His power, did God then cause that mass of flesh and bones to do that? Or was there a spirit in that mass of flesh and bones that did that? It was a spirit there, yes. So, if you believe that that's alive,
some say, that's abortion.
Well, here's a thought. We had the scripture reading earlier. Proverbs chapter 6, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, feet that be swift to running, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. I wonder about that. Someone says maybe that's adult on adult. What is it? What is this, by the way? There's innocent blood there. So we have those in society that say it would be okay at this point in the most innocent among us. You sure wouldn't want to fight a rooster, because that'd be cruel. You sure wouldn't want to fight a dog. And no, I don't think we ought to have cockfighting in Texas or dogfighting pits. And I'm not interested in starting that or going to one, even in Oklahoma if they still have it up there, or wherever they might have it, Utah. But it'd be okay if you cut that up at twice that age, but you sure wouldn't want to fight a chicken. What is that? Is that unnatural affection? I guess unnatural affection could be applied other way. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. This is the shedding of innocent blood. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to run into mischief, false witnesses speaketh lies, he that soweth discord among his brethren. Proverbs 6, verses 16 to 19. The last thing we've got to talk about is this. What about God? That third thing down there? What about God? You remember Romans chapter 1, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them no reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. What about God? Well, here's the Green Party platform on God. We call for, now there's a colon there and there's a list of things, and these things are listed. Elimination of displays of religious symbols, monuments, or statements on government buildings, property, websites, money, or documents. Restoration of the Pledge of Allegiance to its pre-1954 version, eliminating the politically motivated addition of under God. Ending governmental use of doctrines of specific religions to define the nature of the family. Well, that fits in with LGBT. Marriage and the type of character of personal relationships between consenting adults. Ending the use of religion by government to define the role and rights of women in our society. Revocation of the Constitutional Charter of the Boy Scouts of America. Any private organization that practices bigotry against certain religious beliefs and classes of people should not have a congregation or constitutional endorsement or access to public property and funds. Tells you where to stand, doesn't it? Don't say anything about God, because we don't want to hear about God. Libertarian says, we favor the freedom to engage in or abstain from any religious activities that do not violate the rights of others. In other words, you do like you want to do, just as long as you don't hurt anybody, harm anybody, take away any other person's rights, and I'll do just like I want to do. We oppose government actions which either aid or attack any religion. That's their platform. Democratic Party platform. Democrats believe that everyone deserves the chance to live up to his or her God-given potential. They do say God-given potential on page 14. They do. To their credit, they do. Again, at the end of the document, close to the end of the document on page 45, the world would be more secure, stable, and peaceful with all people when all people are able to reach their God-given potential and live in freedom and dignity. They say we're horrified by ISIS's genocide and sexual enslavement of Christians. That's where they mention Christians. Now, if you read this, and I was given the charge of reading these things, and so I'm presenting. In contrast now, those are the three places. There are a few other, at maximum five, where they use the word religion. Those are the only two places that I found where they said anything about God or even used the name. They never said creator. The only time the word Christian is ever used. I didn't find Christian in the Republican platform either. But they did talk about God and creator. In contrast with this, there's 3.5 pages devoted to climate change. There is unequivocal support for the LGBT community. We've seen that. And there is generous support for Muslims. They say vast majority of Muslims believe in a future of peace and tolerance, page 42. And many other references are present in the platform to the Muslims. Now, if that's what you believe and what you stand for, and you can vote that way, and you can stand before God with a clean conscience, then vote that way. Republican Party platform. Twice. I don't have this listed here. You read it. Twice in the first 10 sentences, they mention the Creator and they mention God. We affirm, as did the Declaration of Independence, that all are created equal, endowed by their Creator with inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We believe that people are the ultimate resource, and that the people, not the government, are the best stewards of our country's God-given natural resources. They say, and this is on the first two pages, we find this information. Every time we sing God Bless America, we are asking for help. We ask for divine help that our country can fulfill its promise. We earn that help by recommitting ourselves to the ideas and ideals that are the true greatness of America. They go on to say, we are the party of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. The Declaration sets forth the fundamental precepts of American government that God bestows certain inalienable rights on every individual, thus producing human equality, that government exists first and foremost to protect those inalienable rights, that man-made law must be consistent with God-given natural rights, and that if God-given natural and inalienable rights come in conflict with government, court, or human granted rights, God-given natural inalienable rights always prevail. And that the always prevail. That there is no moral law recognized as the laws of nature and of nature's God, and that the American government, there is a moral law recognized as laws of nature and of nature's God, and that the American government is to operate with the consent of the governed. We are also the party of the Constitution, the greatest political document ever written. It is the sole compact upon which principles of the Declaration and enshrines our God-given individual rights and ensures that all Americans stand equal before the law, defines the purposes and limits of government, and is the blueprint for ordered liberty that makes the United States the world's freest, most prosperous nation. Republicans believe the federal government, specifically the IRS, is constitutionally prohibited from policing or censoring speech based on religious convictions or beliefs. And therefore, we urge the repeal of the Johnson Amendment. Which way will you vote? In the Democratic Party platform, page 3, they say, and they're right, if they're right about anything, they're right about this, and that is, this election is about more than Democrats and Republicans. It is about who we are as a nation and who we will be in the future. That is 100% correct. Who we are as a nation and who we will be in the future. What do you think we should be? What are we now? Which way are we headed? If you want a clear picture of the mindset of the Democrat platform and the Republican Party platform, it can be seen in their reference and support for either LGBT or G-O-D, that is God. As many times as the Democrats mention and or state their beliefs on LGBT, the Republicans mention and or state their belief in God and His principles. And you say, to what extent? They mention God, they recognize Him as Creator. And you say, but didn't the Democrats do that at the beginning and the end of the document? They did. But throughout their document, they reference LGBT, which is in contrast to God's law. We know that. Read the two. You'll see and go through and highlight with your pen as I did and find those number of times that in one platform they reference God and in the other platform they reference LGBT. And you see where their mind is. George Washington taught, religion and morality are indispensable supports of a free society. Religion and morality. So, our charge. We're going to vote for somebody. We didn't talk about this aspect as far as what about our citizenship and what does the Bible say about being good citizens? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive themselves damnation. Romans 13:1-2. So we're to be submissive citizens up and to the time that God's law is usurped by government. And then we invoke Acts 5 and verse 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. But otherwise, we're to be good citizens. If we're to live like Christians, must we not also vote like Christians, having God in mind? Is He the Creator or isn't He? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1 and verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Psalms 19 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. That's you and me and everybody else included in that. Psalms 24, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And we've seen some platforms this very day that are right there. God says it's foolishness. Proverbs 14, verse 1. We studied last week, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In the Democratic platform, you read that. Another thing that is loud and clear in the Democratic platform, they have their fellow man in mind. They do. They have their fellow man in mind. In Matthew 22, 39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And they have that in mind. You're going to have to decide, do you believe that their direction is correct? That just because you're my fellow man, I have to approve any thinking of yours, any lifestyle, moral or immoral, based on God-given principles. Is that what that means? I don't believe that's the example that we find in the Word of God. And so I guess that part comes from the preacher. There's one of my opinions I was trying to hold back. They do have that in mind. But otherwise, on matters of morality, they are fundamentally immoral, ungodly, and in some cases, downright wicked. Read the platform. You encourage bisexual people to continue to be bisexual. Homosexual men, homosexual women, you encourage those things. That's wickedness. God didn't put up with that. I guess he did for a while, but ultimately destroyed it because they wouldn't leave it. The Lord gave commission to his apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And you know what they taught against? Some of those very things. So someone says, well, brother, you're saying that they're right on keeping their fellow man in mind and all these other things. Okay, so go back to your illustration. You're going to go down and worship at the Methodist church. You get discontent with me or the congregation here. You're going to go worship down there. Why not? Because of their platform. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not upon thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he'll direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. And 1 Corinthians 10, 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3, 1 to 3, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things on earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The prophet says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. If we turn to Psalms 119, the psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Therein do I delight, he says. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear.
We must put God first, even in voting.
We put God first in regard to salvation, haven't we? We understand baptism doth also now save us, 1 Peter 3:21. We understand what the Lord taught in Mark 16 and verse 15. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Saul asked, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And he was told, that's Acts 9 and verse 6. He was told, go into the city and there will be told to thee what thou must do. He's there for 3 days praying. Neither did he eat or drink. And the Lord sends a man named Ananias to him. He speaks to them, to him, and he says, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and verse 16. Have you done that? As Christians, we're to be faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10. We're to always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Why do we speak these things? Well, you know why we speak these things and the stuff that we looked at today, and that is, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, persuade men. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 10 and 11. That's why. Just as the Apostle Paul spoke to one Felix, and he reasoned with him of righteousness, temperance, and the judgment to come. We reasoned this morning of righteousness and temperance. I appreciate your attention. If you have need of the invitation of the gospel, we bid you come while we stand, while we sing.
Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Though they lean on the cold dark mountain seeking new sheep, or along by some old one's fountains helping the weak. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go. Then at last when on high he sees us our journey done, we shall rest where the steps of Jesus is at God's throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where they go.
Very good lesson this morning, I think. I failed to mention that Tommy Willis is back with us and looking good. Is there any other announcements that need to be made? We're going to ask Brother Reuben to dismiss us.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we had today to come before you and offer up praise to you. Remember your son's sacrifice and to listen to the words being taught to us by the Brother Miller. We're thankful, Father, for his efforts, and we pray that you will take these things that we've learned today and make application of them in our lives and spread your word to others if we have the opportunity. We pray for the upcoming election, Father. We pray that we can vote in such a way that it will be pleasing to you, that it will be based on your principles. We pray, Father, for those who were not able to be here this morning. Those who may be ill, we pray that you would be within the building. leave with his Father. The thankful Father, for those who are able to be back with us and have been ill, we pray that Brother Willis will continue to have a speedy recovery and get well soon. Father, we pray for strength as we go about our daily lives. We pray that as we study your word and gain knowledge of it, that you will help us to have the wisdom we need to make the proper application of it in our lives. We pray that you will continue to be with the church here and with the growth, not only numerically, but in each person who is a member here, that you do it left the most holy place. We pray now that you would forgive us of our sins and continue to be with us until we meet again. We pray this in Christ. Amen.
I ain't gonna leave, boy. I'm getting 30 days.